John, you've heard about flash mobs, right?
Of course.
Well, this was kind of like a flash crash. Lots of people were there. No one's entirely sure what happened. On Thursday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted almost 1,000 points in that matter of minutes and then bounced back most of the way.
Well, people were really, really scared, and then they stopped being scared. So they took advantage.
Oh, so that's the John Hockenberry theory.
Well, I mean, it plummeted because somebody did something negative, and then they decided, oh, never mind. So they came back.
Okay, well, that's the Hockenberry theory. We have Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And also Bill Brown, a law professor at Duke University. He is an expert on the Wall Street trading because he was formerly the global co-head of listed derivatives at Morgan Stanley. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so Louise, you heard John's theory about what happened. Is that kind of what happened in Thursday's crash?
Well, everyone's still investigating, but the leading theory right now is that it's a mismatch of rules. So the New York Stock Exchange, which you know is one of the most prominent, has been around a long time, has a system in place where if there's too much selling, they put a brake on it. They slow it down. It's called slow mode. And they do that so that when people are trying to sell things, if there aren't quite enough buyers, prices won't fall as fast. Because, you know, maybe if I want to sell at $20, maybe I don't want to sell at a penny. Maybe,
but isn't
you
the
know.
Mystery why there was so much selling to begin with? Isn't that where the mystery is?
That mystery.
Yeah, I think what you had here is you had many stock exchanges all around the world, and at the very core of this was something called high-frequency trading. It's a trading that happens on a pretty large scale with computers all around the world running our markets. And then the difference of milliseconds can give one computer a trade advantage over another. On Thursday, for instance, we saw a feedback loop. And yes, Louise is absolutely right. We saw a mismatch of rules. But what happens is one set of stock prices was incorrect. And as other computer models in the system tried to catch up, some could catch up, some couldn't, simply because of the mismatch in rules. But ultimately, there was a feedback loop of incorrect data. It's sort of like cracking the whip. You start with one small move, and by the time it's all over, you create a massive move.
Okay, but Louise, was there, and I mean, most people think that it began with this concern over Greece and just a little bit of selling in the market because of computer glitches led to a massive selling. Is that more accurate?
Well, that's what we don't know. We don't know who the first big sellers were. I mean, I've heard a lot of rumors about different hedge funds who were liquidating. Some people think that there were parties on the wrong side of the Greece trade, and they had to liquidate. And because of that, they sold an index of futures of blue chip stocks. That part we're trying to figure out. But keep in mind, what's really important to figure out is what happened after that, because we'll always have liquidations here or there, and you need a stock market system where when someone does have a liquidation, you don't have this kind of glitch that caused the panic. Right.
But do you think this came from Chicago, like the one rumor that we've heard, that this originated in some set of glitches in Chicago, and that's where people were taking their cues?
Well, what people are saying about Chicago is not that it's a glitch, but that's where we can see this first massive trading, in this futures index of blue chip stocks. But just the fact that the first big trading can be seen there doesn't mean that that was a glitch. The glitch is really what happened afterwards when the New York Stock Exchange went into slow mode and when all these other electronic exchanges didn't have a slow mode. And so they did not slow down while the New York Stock Exchange did slow down. And that's the mismatch in pricing, and the computer models that Bill spoke about were not giving the right prices.
Okay, so Bill, perhaps what we're really missing here is the kind of release valve that we can control, right, to stop this kind of thing. There was nothing here to keep it from happening again.
There's nothing here to keep it from happening again. And I also think this high-frequency trading participants in the market are really the quiet underbelly of the market that many, many people don't understand. And I think it's a very, very big problem that we have because so much of today's financial system is dependent upon these very weak links. I mean, it's weak because the model is fraught with danger by the very nature of the market. You can enter a trade and exit in a second or two, and because you go in and out so quickly, only computers can get involved, and so they have to be programmed properly.
Okay, so.
But moreover, the participants are a problem. The participants in this market, most of them are people you've never, ever heard of. And most of these participants have very, very little capital. They don't have to put up a lot of money up front to enter into trades. All they have to do is put up enough money to cover the end of the day trades.
Oh,
but during the middle of the day, they can enter massive, massive trades. But as long as they're flat at the end of the day, all they have to do is make up their gains and losses.
Okay, so. Louise, you were talking about how there's going to be a meeting today to kind of address this. Who's going to be meeting, and are they going to be talking about these things, the high-frequency trading model that Bill's talking about?
Yes, it's going to be a meeting at the SEC with the heads of some of the biggest exchanges, and they're going to be talking about two things. First of all, they're going to be talking about continuing to try to figure out what happened and about possibly coordinating their data because, you know, right now, the SEC, the government, they have no way to see all the trading across the market. Kind of a scary thought.
They only have one way, and that is to go back after it's all
right,
over.
Right, and ask all these parties. Exactly. Which is what they're doing today. But, you know, you might have thought that on Thursday, you know, Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, could just punch in and look up all the trades.
Right.
But he can't. And that's one of the things with reg reform people are talking about is maybe we should have new rules so you can do that. So they'll talk about coordinating the investigation. And they'll also start talking about what new rules do we need in the future so we have more common circuit breakers across all the different exchanges.
But it sounds like what Bill Brown is saying, the only oversight you could have is, Bill, am I wrong here, another computer, right?
Yeah, or you get rid of all the different exchanges and put everyone on one exchange, because even if you did put circuit breakers on multiple different exchanges, people can still trade directly with each other. I mean, this is a problem that's going to be really difficult to solve unless the SEC and the CFTC get a little more intricately involved in some of the processes going on.
Okay, that Bill Brown, a law professor at Duke University, he was also formerly the global co-head of listed derivatives at Morgan Stanley, but we're already hearing a little bit of rumbling here, Louise, from other people who are worried about this meeting. They're worried about what kind of regulations might be put in place as a result of what happened last Thursday. So who stands to lose if we install these circuit breakers?
Well, you'll wonder if it raises prices on trading. But the other big point here to focus on is that how disadvantaged were retail investors last week? Because, you know, a lot of the hedge funds were able to jump back in on the price upswing and make some money. But average people out there weren't sitting at their computers ready to go. So what will happen to protect retail investors from this in the future?
Well, they're probably going to say you snooze, you lose, right?
That's not fair to the worker out there doing their job, you know.
Okay, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for The New York Times. A flash crash on Wall Street that now, as John was saying earlier today, seems like it never happened.